If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It was just over the course of 2 days, Eugene Peterson, a very popular author of Christian books, and of course the very popular Bible adaptation called The Message, was interviewed, and the interview was published in part, and the headline that led it was that Eugene Peterson had decided to support same-sex marriage. He was asked about homosexuality, said it was a matter of right and wrong for him, and asked if he would perform a same-sex ceremony. Were he an active pastor? He simply said an unequivocal yes. Now, within about 24 hours, he had retracted that statement, a not altogether satisfying retraction, but a retraction nonetheless, but it does raise the question about the pressure that is being exerted culturally, socially, on every Christian, but especially on evangelical leaders, to simply affirm homosexuality, just to say, okay, we give in, it's okay, we're not going to say it's wrong anymore. And there is pressure, isn't there? We're going to talk about Christianity and homosexuality and why the church ought to resist that pressure and that temptation. Glenn Stanton joins us, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Christianity Doesn't Endorse Homosexuality, No Matter What Eugene Peterson and Jen Gaffigan Imply. Glenn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you.
How would you describe the pressure on Christians every day to simply give in and say, okay, we're just not going to make a point of it anymore, that homosexuality, among all of these other things, is a sin?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, there's tremendous pressure, and the pressure doesn't come from, you know, our honest reading of Scripture and the practice of the church. It comes from elite culture and, you know, quote-unquote, the cool people who, you know, won't you guys just get over it? It's not that big a deal. And look at all these cool and hip people, you know, that are joining the bandwagon. And that's about, you know, the only really argument that they have to try to whip us into shape, if you will. So, yeah, the pressure is tremendous, and there's hardly any pressure to or encouragement for Christians to say, you know, hey, what, hang in there, stay strong, don't compromise, stand lovingly and courageously and truthfully for the integrity of what God says in His Word.
What the media wants to do with this, and I think a great example of it is what played out over this last week with Eugene Peterson, is to say, well, if we can get enough of these prominent evangelical leaders to say, it's okay, don't worry, it's not a sin any longer, then we can basically say to all the other Christians, you've been wrong all along, and there's nothing in the Bible, and Jesus never mentioned it, and all those arguments get thrown back in our face.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, it's, you know, it's sort of a variation on the you guys are on the wrong side of history. And it's interesting. I mean, the person who wrote that piece for the Religious News Service, who did the interview with Eugene Peterson, I mean, basically he's made a cottage industry out of, you know, let me see if I can find as many cool Christians as I can to say that, you know, they're thumbs up with homosexual marriage and things like that. And then what he does with that is, you know what, you guys can stand with Jerry Falwell and Dr. Dobson, but I'm going to stand with Eugene Peterson, you know? And it's interesting, on his interview, the interview online, I haven't seen that he's retracted necessarily, that Eugene Peterson said, yeah, I don't quite believe in that. And that's the thing with Eugene Peterson himself is, I mean, he's an 84-year-old man, and he's, you know, of course, coherent and everything, but he is an 84-year-old man. And, you know, basically in his explanation that he put out yesterday, it wasn't real coherent, but, you know, for all the confusion, he says, let me reaffirm that I believe in the biblical definition of one man and one woman for marriage.
So let's talk about kind of the nuts and bolts of this, beginning with, and I think this is really a necessary place to begin where you do as well, and that is to say, when Christians talk about homosexuality as a sin, we are not saying that heterosexuals don't sin, and we're not saying that Christians don't sin. Make that case. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's very, very important. You know what? If you have a beating heart, you're a sinner. I mean, that's mere Christianity, right? And there's not, you know, in terms of, I mean, sin is sin. And yes, all sin has different consequences, but sin separates us from God. And there are no sins where God goes, well, you're a little bit separated from me, but those people over there, they're way separated from me. You know what? I mean, sin is sin. And yes, I mean, there's sexual sin. And, you know, every one of us have a disordered sexuality, if you will. And, you know, the other is, and yeah, I talk about this in the Federalist article, we must understand that same-sex attraction is not a sin. You know, just like, you know, my tendency to lust is not a sin. It's what I do with that sin. Do I subjugate it? Do I bring it under the lordship of Christ and say, I want to live obediently as a human being under what you have called me to do, God? And there are same-sex attracted people, hundreds, thousands in the church, who have same-sex attraction and are saying, you know what? No, I don't have the right to rewrite God's rules. I'm going to live in obedience to Christ with my sexuality, and I'm going to honor Him. And so that's a very, very important distinction, that it's not just about people with same-sex attraction or not. It's what we do with our sexuality, and are we obedient to Christ in that?
Yeah, I think I would, just for matters of clarity, I think I would nuance your statement just a little bit by saying the temptation toward these things, to be tempted in this direction,
yes,
is not its sin. The inclination, I think, is sinful, but the temptation, which we all live with, heterosexuals live with,
yes,
tons of temptation, the temptation toward it itself, to be tempted, is not to sin. Otherwise,
yeah,
Christ
Todd,
himself
and
would
and
be
that's
guilty.
Exactly right. I mean, that's well said. That's well said. So I'm with you.
Well, how do you respond to someone, and this is so often said, especially when Christians are part of the conversation, that Jesus said nothing about homosexuality, and therefore it's implied he didn't regard it as a sin against God?
Well, two things there. First of all, fallacy of argument from silence. We don't judge ethical criteria by what somebody didn't say. You know, we don't do that with our kids. Like, Mom, you never said anything about spray painting on the living room walls, you know? It's just, the people who say that are smarter than that. But second, the question that we really need to ask is not really what does Jesus say about homosexuality, but what is the sexual ethic that Jesus taught? You know, so don't try to get us into the proof texting arguments of Romans and, you know, all those different things. The bottom line question is just this: what is it that Jesus told us that he embraces and dictates and prescribes for us sexually? And the biblical revisionists who are trying to make a way for homosexuality, they don't know how to answer that question because they don't have an answer for it, because Christ is quite clear. You know, he's clear in the beginning of Matthew 19 and Mark 10, where he says the husband leaves his mother and father and cleaves to his wife. That's marriage. You know, that's what the sexual relationship is about. And there's no ambiguity there whatsoever.
Finally, and with only a minute here, Glenn, you say that people are more than their sexuality. That is really, really important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, like when people say, well, I'm a gay Christian, I don't say I'm a fly fishing Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a person. You know, I don't say I'm a fly fishing person or I'm a vegetarian person. It's like, I will not allow you to be defined by your sexuality, because I value you more than your sexuality. You know, your name is Judy, your name is Frank, and I love you as Judy and Frank. I value as Judy and Frank. And to pick out something particular about yourself, either to praise yourself or put yourself down, is a prejudicial kind of thing. And no, we can't reduce people two unique things about them. You're valuable because, and you're significant because, you are part of the human race, full stop, period.
Glenn Stanton is director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He's author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor. He's also written a recent column for The Federalist titled Christianity Doesn't Endorse Homosexuality, No Matter What Eugene Peterson and Jim Gaffigan Imply. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Glenn, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be making the case against the sexual revolution in this vein at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Houston. She'll be joined by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Dr. Scott Murray, Rod Dreher, and others. You can find out more and register for the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. It's the Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. When we come back, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Joyce Meyer at Lakewood talking about dental hygiene. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
If you've ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and have wondered why more people from my congregation aren't here, check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so the pastors of your circuit can organize, promote, and present a seminar that appeals to the members of your congregation, even the youth, is provided free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org and click on the blue box or check us out on Facebook.